So great to be here and to worship God, and thank you, worship team, for helping us to do that. You know what's also great about coming together? It's fellowship with God's people, and you know who helps with that? You do, right? Because it wouldn't be fellowship if we weren't here together. And it's also great to come together in the scriptures and come to God's word together. It's such a joy to do that. It's a joy as a pastor to be able to study during the week and, you know, and then present the message that God has placed on my heart. So thanks for being here and listening to that. We've been in the Mount Movers message series and talking about the heroes of faith that we find listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Today we're going to get acquainted with Gideon. Okay, and the subtitle of the message is Strength in Weakness. And you'll figure that out in just a little while, and maybe you already have if you know the Gideon story. But here's a question. Have you ever had something unexpected happen in your life, and you just weren't sure how it was going to turn out? There's a story about a photographer, and he was assigned to take pictures at a national park, and he decided that he would take the pictures from the sky, if he could arrange that. He felt like that would be the best angle for the project he was working on. And he requested permission to rent a plane from the local airport with a pilot, and he was able to do that, and he was told to report at the airport at a certain time, and he got there, and right away he noticed there was a plane with a pilot sitting in there, and the prop was turning, and so he grabbed his photographer bag, and he jumped in there. And it wasn't long, and the pilot had the plane facing into the wind, and, you know, off they went into the wide blue yonder, you know. And the photographer says to the pilot, he says, okay, so what I want you to do is, you know, go over the park and, you know, swing down kind of low, do that two or three times. And the pilot says to him, well, why should I do that? And he says, well, because I'm a photographer, and photographers take photographs. While the pilot got this terrified look on his face, and he looked at the photographer and he says, you mean you're not the flight instructor? Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm guessing he felt a little bit unprepared. And I think Gideon felt that way. He got an unexpected surprise one day, something he wasn't really anticipating, when the Lord God himself showed up into Gideon's life and called him to lead God's people out of oppression and the tyranny of the enemy. And we catch this story in Hebrews 11. Actually, we don't really get Gideon's story. We only get Gideon's name in a list among other people in the same list. But then the verses that follow make some relevant points that apply to Gideon. So check it out in Hebrews chapter 11. There's three verses that we're going to look at, starting in verse 32. And the writer of Hebrews says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, so this is the commentary on all of those people in that list, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. So the emphasis here for Gideon is weakness turned to strength. Now, if we look at the mountains that we face in life, those difficult circumstances, those challenges that seem to be immovable and so huge in front of us, wouldn't it be great if our weakness was turned to strength so that we could become mountain movers? Well, Gideon was like that. Now, you actually have to go to the Old Testament to read Gideon's story. And so if you go back to the book of Judges, and we'll have the scriptures on the screen so you can kind of see them there. But this was really a dark period in the history of Israel. Judges shows how persistent Israel was in forgetting about the Lord and how faithful God was to discipline his people, but then to deliver them and draw them back to himself. Now, before Israel had a king, they had a series of judges. And God used these men, and actually one woman by the name of Deborah. You can read about her in the book of Judges. He used these folks to save the Israelites from their enemies and to lead them. And the judges did not just oversee legal matters. The title is a little bit misleading. They were also administrators, and actually, they were warriors. They were military leaders, and Gideon was one of those. Now, every time a judge would die, as we read the book of Judges, Israel went astray again. They would wander from God, even rebel against God, and return to idolatry. And it was this constant cycle of sin and deliverance. Israel would rebel, wander from God. God disciplines them. Israel repents. God restores them into fellowship with himself. And this is the cycle. I call it the four R's: rebellion, reckoning, repentance, and restoration. In other words, the people would rebel, and then there was a reckoning for the rebellion. You know, there was like the consequences. And then there was repentance on the part of the people, and then there was restoration in their connection with the one true living God. And I would just like to say that cycle would maybe not be even too unfamiliar for God's people today, where sometimes people wander from God, and in his mercy, he allows difficult circumstances into our life. We come to a place of recognizing where we've fallen short, we repent, and then God restores relationship, close connection with us. I think that same cycle happens. Now, as Gideon enters the picture, we find Israel has wandered from God. They're now suffering. They're being oppressed by the Midianites. You'll see the pattern right away in Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. It goes like this. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. In other words, they went into hiding. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. God's about to answer their prayer. Okay, jump down to verse 11. That's where Gideon enters the story. It says here, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah. Now, stop there just for a second. It says the angel of the Lord, but this was actually what we call a theophany, which was a pre-incarnate appearance of God himself. And you'll see that as the scriptures unfold here. Came and sat down under the oak, so it was an actual appearance in the flesh of God, of Ophrah, that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Normally they'd thresh wheat on the threshing floor outside because, you know, I don't know how it totally worked, but they would knock the wheat and you know, throw it up, and the wind would take the chaff away and the wheat kernels would come down. Well, here he is doing an outside job inside a room in a wine press. Can't imagine how that worked out, but he was hiding because the Midianites and the Amalekites, they would come and take the grain from them, and then they'd have nothing to eat. So Gideon's kind of doing this on the sly. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?'" Now stop there for a second. Don't we get that way sometimes in life where, you know, someone might say, "Well, you know, God is so close to you." And you might say, "What are you talking about? I don't feel God close to me. I don't necessarily see his activity in my life around me." But God is still close. He's still near. He's still working. "But now the Lord has abandoned us and he's put us into the hand of Midian." Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you. So here's the key. I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. So, as I focus on how you find strength and weakness, just 3 points. Mountain movers find strength and weakness through 3 things. Believing what God says about you, believing that God is with you, and believing that God wants to help you believe. Okay, that's how you're going to find strength and weakness. So if you are feeling weak, if you're feeling inadequate, if you're feeling unprepared, this message is for you because Gideon felt that way. And God was so merciful to him. And here's how a mountain mover finds strength and weakness. Number one, by believing what God says about you. Look at what the Lord called Gideon. Even after he found him hiding in the winepress, threshing the wheat. Judges 6:12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Okay, now I was trying to figure out, is this like God with a sense of humor? Right? There's Gideon hiding, you know, and God says, you're a mighty warrior, Gideon. And I talked to a few people about this, even Ed Martin. I don't know if he's still sitting in here, but we were talking about this today. And I said, I don't know if God, there he is. And I said, I don't know if God has a sense of humor. And Ed says, you know what? I think maybe God was calling something out of Gideon that was inside of Gideon. Okay? And I think that's true. I think there was a prophetic edge to what God was speaking into Gideon's life. You are a mighty warrior. And I think that's a key. If you're feeling weak and you need the strength of the Lord in your life, you need to embrace what God says about you. You need to embrace your identity, especially in the New Testament, right? On this side of the cross, we have the benefit of being children of God through Christ. Our identity is in Christ. And we need to embrace that. Gideon sort of resists that, and he persists by speaking a low opinion of himself. In verse 15 of Judges 6, he says, but Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Here's a caution. Be careful how you talk about yourself. All right? You need to embrace what the Lord speaks about you through the power of his Spirit, through the scriptures. This is what you accept as true. Not some voice inside of you that says, yeah, I'm the least, I'm the weakest, I'm the smallest. I don't know how I can ever accomplish anything. Now, this could be a whole message in itself, okay? Talking about receiving and accepting our identity in Christ. But I just want to point out 3 things that the scriptures say about you that you should embrace. Number one, you are loved by God. You are loved. God is crazy about you. And it doesn't matter even where you are necessarily right now in your relationship with God. He loves you passionately. He loves you so much he sent his son to die for you. 1 John 4:10-11. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That usually gets attached to God's love for us. Our response to God's love is love the people around you. You are loved. That's your identity in Christ. Number two, you are gifted. God has deposited something in your life that glorifies him, that comes from him, that's to be used from him, by him, through him, as a blessing to those around you. Ephesians 1:3. Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you are a Christ follower, this is speaking to you. A little later in Ephesians, I love this verse, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So they've already been prepared. When it says you're God's workmanship, that word could also be translated masterpiece. God has created you in a special way. You are gifted. Romans 12, 4 to 6 talks about how the members in the body of Christ don't all have the same function. So don't compare yourself with the people next to you. Discover how God has called you, where he has gifted you. And then function in that. Romans 12, 4 to 6. Just because we have one body, it's with many members. And these members don't all have the same function. So we who are in Christ, who are many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Now look at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So you have a different gift according to the grace that God has given you. Mountain movers find strength and weakness through believing what God says about us. You are loved, you are gifted. Here's the third thing. You are needed in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 and 18. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And then you know this part, if the foot should say, but I'm not a hand, how can I function? It would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, but I'm not an eye. Sounds like the body's whining. Look at jump to verse 18. I love this. In fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So you are not an accident. The way that God's put you together, God arranged it. I believe that God has you here, even now, listening to this. Maybe online you're listening to this. You're not an accident. God arranges things. In our church right now, we're trying to open up things more. We have a need for people to serve. Thank you for responding when you're able to respond. I'd like to make an appeal because we want to open up, I think it's called the Little Climbers Room next weekend. And we need help. Maybe God's called you to help. I don't know. You can find that information in the bulletin. You can talk to Faye if you have questions. But mountain movers, here's the last point under believing what God says about you. Mountain movers exercise faith to believe what God and the scriptures say about them. You may not feel it. You may not perceive it at the time. But by faith, you embrace what God says about you. You're loved. You're gifted, and you're needed in the body of Christ. Okay, so if you're feeling weak and you're lacking confidence, like Gideon, you can find strength and weakness also by believing that God is with you. That's the first thing God said to Gideon to reassure him. Gideon 6:12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." This would be the key to Gideon's victory, God's presence with him. As a matter of fact, if God hadn't been present with him, Gideon could not have succeeded. And really, the Lord removed all doubt of that. And this is a little bit counterintuitive, so just follow along with what I'm saying here. God had a purpose and on purpose whittled down Gideon's army. If you're familiar with the story, you know what I'm talking about. He whittled down Gideon's army so that for sure Gideon and all the Israelites around him would know that it was God that won the victory, not Gideon, not the greatness of his army. That way Gideon would know God is with us. All the people with him would know God is with us. We need the presence of God to win the victory. To find strength in our weakness, we need God's presence. God's supernatural help. So Judges 7, verses 2 to 3, the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands." Doesn't that seem weird? Your army's too big to go into this battle. We need to get that down just a little bit. And the Lord explains why. "In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left. while 10,000 remain. So they started out with 32,000. When Gideon gets this call to battle, he's able to muster up 32,000 soldiers. And the Lord's like, 22,000 gone. Now, with 10,000, now, and I should tell you the Midianites and the Amalekites numbered somewhere around 132,000. So the Israelites, even with 32,000, were outnumbered 4-1. But that was still too many. You know, and then came the drinking water test. Remember that? You know, depending on how they drank the water, if they went right down into the stream and drank from the stream, or if they put some in their hand and lapped like a dog. Well, that's where the Lord said, now, the ones that do that, that's your army. And it turned out to be 300. And then in Judges 7:7, it's the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. And then, if that wasn't enough, God unfolds the battle plan. I like to call it the Bath and Body Works battle plan, because it was with jars and candles. They're going to go into battle with their jars and their candles. They had trumpets too, okay? But this was God's plan, that the army would go against all of these people with their candles and their jars and their trumpets. You know why? It's because God wanted them to know that he was with them, and it was his presence with them that got them the victory. So here's the application point. When you feel weak, when you feel overwhelmed, at a disadvantage, when you're facing a mountain, when the odds are against you and you are facing the impossible, believe that God is with you. Sometimes God allows things to be sort of taken away in your life so that you end up understanding, knowing, and believing that it was only by God, it was only through God that I got through this. And listen, sometimes God changes your circumstances, and sometimes God changes you, but he gets you through. And it is by his presence. You know this, that Jesus is called Emmanuel. You know what that means? God with us. He is with us. The book of Hebrews actually quotes an Old Testament scripture. Hebrews 13:5, and behold, I am with you always. The Lord is with us always. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And then he sends his Holy Spirit. This is the most amazing thing. God's Holy Spirit, as Jesus was leaving the world, he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another. John 14:16-18. I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now the word there for counselor is the Greek word parakletos. It's a great word. It can also be translated comforter, advocate. It literally means the one that comes alongside. The Holy Spirit is alongside of you as a believer in Jesus. If you're facing a mountain today, trust that God is with you. Even when the circumstances around you make you feel like maybe you're alone or somehow God has abandoned you. But he's here, even today. He's working, he's providing, he's leading, he's healing, he's restoring, he's transforming, he's Emmanuel. He's with us. Feeling weak, you're lacking confidence like Gideon, you can find strength in weakness. Believe what God says about you. Believe that God is with you. And here's the last point. You can find strength in weakness by believing that God wants to help you believe. So Gideon experienced God's reassurance. Okay? And here's what I'd like to say. God has a very... He's very patient with us in our need for reassurance. He tolerates our need for reassurance. Gideon needed reassurance. And God was so amazingly patient with him. If you remember the story, there's the part of the fleece. I actually brought a fleece with me. This is an actual fleece. This is a part of a sheep's skin, if you've ever seen one. This actually comes from my neighbor. We live south of Carlton in Twin Lakes Township. Rob and Lori Gamble have the Promised Land Farms, and they raise sheep, along with many other things. And they said, yeah, I asked them if I could borrow this. And I decided that if this was dry when the time church started, that I would preach a half an hour longer than normal. I'm just kidding. So, you remember the fleece story? And by the way, can I just say this right off the bat? It's not necessarily good to put a fleece out before the Lord. I think sometimes it's okay. God tolerates our need for reassurance. But, you know, Gideon put the fleece out, and if you remember the story, it was, Lord, you know, if truly you want me to do this, you know, I'll put the fleece outside tonight, and if the dew is just on the fleece when I get up in the morning and all the ground around it is dry, then I'll know that you've called me to do this task. Right? And then if that wasn't enough, Gideon's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to put it outside again tonight. And this time, let the fleece be dry and let all the ground be full of dew. And God does that. Right? If you maybe saw that in Judges chapter 6, verses 36 to 38. And it talks about, I'll place the wool of fleece on the threshing floor outside where he should have been threshing the wheat. There's dew only on the fleece, and all the ground is dry, then I'll know that you've saved Israel by my hand, as you said. And that is what happened. And then he does the opposite. So sometimes we put fleeces out before the Lord, and we might say something like, well, Lord, I'm not sure what direction to go, I'm not sure what to do, but if this happens, then I'll know that I should go this way. And I just want to caution you, be careful. You know, you don't want to necessarily make important decisions just based on a fleece. You know, I might want to say something like, if my paycheck shows up on time, I'll take that loan out and buy that new Harley Davidson this spring. Well, my paycheck always shows up on time. Right? So be careful. But don't miss the point. God wants to reassure us. God tolerates our need for reassurance. He's very patient with us. Gideon even gets another chance to receive reassurance from the Lord. You just look a little bit further down in Judges chapter 7, verses 9 to 11. Gideon was hesitating still, even after these two fleece reassurances. It says, during the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. In other words, now's the time. Get your jars, get your candles, get your trumpets. We're going to have you attack the enemy. He says this in verse 10. If you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. In other words, God is encouraging Gideon to believe so that he goes into the battle believing. You remember the story in the New Testament in the Gospel of Mark, where the father brings his child to Jesus. His child is being tormented by an evil spirit, and he's deaf and mute, and he says, if you can help my son, please. Jesus says, well, matter of fact, I have the scripture verse here, Mark 9, verses 22 to 24. He says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Look at Jesus' response in verse 23. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And do you remember what Jesus did right after that? He didn't look at the man and say, well, too bad for you that you have so much unbelief. Jesus had mercy on him and he healed his son and delivered him. Okay? Here's the point, and this will be the last point. Here's the application. When you are struggling with unbelief, ask God for help. Okay? Ask God for help. If you're feeling weak, you're feeling discouraged, you're struggling, that mountain looks so huge to you, and you've prayed to God, and you know there's something there, and it's just not connecting for you in prayer, can you just get honest with God and say, I am struggling. I need your help. I believe, God, but help my unbelief. And your weakness can be turned into a strength. I'm going to have the worship team come back. And as they come, do you remember what Paul said when he was suffering with what he called a thorn in the flesh? There's sort of a lot of debate about, you know, what that thorn was. It doesn't really matter what it was. He had something that was tormenting him, and it wasn't going away. And he asked the Lord three times, please take this away from me. And God's response to him in 2 Corinthians 12 was, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Okay, so if you're feeling weak today, God wants to bless you with an outpouring of his grace. And the way you receive that is by believing what the Lord has spoken about you, that he loves you, that he's gifted you, that he wants you to be participating in his family. And the way you turn your weakness into a strength is by believing that God is with you. He's not going to leave you. He hasn't forsaken you. No matter how it feels, no matter how things have gotten whittled down into your life, and you just feel like God has abandoned you. It's not true. That is not the truth. He's with you. And the way you find strength and weakness is by believing that God wants to help you believe. He wants to help you. So if you'll stand with me, and we'll have someone in the prayer corner for sure. If maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you feel like God has left you. Come for prayer. Reach out to the Lord for help. You know what Paul's response to the Lord telling him that his grace was sufficient and his power was made perfect in weakness? Here's Paul's response. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise the Lord. So we're going to sing this chorus, Living Hope. I love the words in this. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. All right, let's lift it up together and then we'll pray before we send you on your way. So thank you, God, for the encouragement, the blessing of your word. Thank you, God, that these stories have been passed on through the centuries and the millennia, and they're able to encourage us today. That you would speak to us, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. Lord, let those words sink into our minds, find a place in our hearts, work themselves out in our lives, oh God. We would believe what you say about us, that we would believe that your presence is with us, and that we would believe, God, that when we're struggling with believing, that you're not shaming us, Lord, you're calling us to you to find help in our time of need. So thank you, God, that you turn our weaknesses into strength, just like you did for Gideon. We praise your name. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, you can hang out. Have a wonderful week.